Welcome to the Island Weekly. I'm Anne Hodgson, and this is the edition of the 21st of July 2008. Today I'm going to tell you a personal story. I'm going to tell you about growing up in D.C. in the 1960s. This morning I found a newspaper clipping and a picture that took me back to my childhood growing up in D.C. The clipping shows my kindergarten class at St. Peter's School on an excursion to visit an actor, the father of one of my classmates, who was appearing in Macbeth at the local theater. Our school teachers at St. Peter's tried hard to get us to read books and go to the theater, with mixed success. Anyway, this kindergarten field trip got everyone's attention. Sandy, the blonde girl, was my best friend, and Carlton, the black boy closest to the actor, was my neighbor. The picture below shows Sandy, Carlton, and me in my backyard playing statues where you whirl around until someone yells, "Stop!" and you have to say what you are, a dumb game that I loved. These were the mid-60s, and we were, of course, an integrated school with kids from elegant Capitol Hill and what was known as the Projects, social housing further south where poor black families lived. Our teachers were nuns in light blue short habits, who carried around guitars, singing, "Yes, Jesus loves me, 'cause the Bible tells me so," with us. But I didn't like St. Peter's. I remember being beaten up and having toys stolen and being afraid of some of the bullies there. Plus, the nuns were so busy integrating us that we didn't do much except reading and writing. There was no math to speak of. My dad was not pleased. So, since my family spoke German at home, he and my mom decided to send me to the German school, a private school for German expats, in third grade. My education there was a lot better, and I liked school more. But frankly, my life got much more segregated. I was in Little Germany all day, and that had nothing at all to do with the inner-city realities of Capitol Hill. It wasn't intentional, but I lost touch with my old classmates and only met the neighbors at St. Peter's Church. And then our neighborhood got more expensive. Carlton's family moved away because they couldn't afford the rent. So I lost my black playmates. So here I was, living in what is known as Chocolate City, with no black friends. My family did white middle-class things, the kind of stuff exposed so mercilessly by the satirical and totally accurate blog, stuff white people like. So apart from functional things like community action, our family's social life didn't include blacks. When I struck out on my own as a teenager, I preferred black music, which sounds like home to me. But I got that from the streets, not from friends. At my first dance party, I played Stevie Wonder, Aretha, James Brown, and Sly and the Family Stone, music my classmates didn't even know. I felt infinitely superior. The arrogance of a 12-year-old. How successful has school integration been? It all depends on who you talk to. Today you can choose between cultural options. With more people acknowledging their mixed genetic heritage, you can even choose to be white or black or something in between. You've probably heard that the USA is a melting pot of cultures, right? Well, a lot of people say it isn't, that we're a mixed salad culture. I would tend to agree. There are many new ingredients in the salad, but we still have the old ones there. So, do we no longer need to force social integration as defined way back in the 60s? Many schools have become charter schools, setting up their own rules to create a learning environment they consider most productive for their students. Last year, in Parents versus Seattle Schools, the Supreme Court decided that public schools should be free to choose their own policies regarding integration. It's hard to say what consequences this will have. I found a thought-provoking article by Alaysha Harris entitled "White Girl in the Promised Land." She writes, "To make no legal distinctions between black children who grow up with the stresses of poverty and white children who live in privilege is to make the law a guarantor of that privilege. Trust me on this one, for I can remember when the law was exactly that." Michelle Obama made a speech to college kids a while ago about us being too comfortable about living separate lives in that mixed salad bowl, and parts of the public have reacted very strongly. So I'm curious to see where this public debate will take us in the coming months. That's it for this week. Thanks for listening to my reminiscences and my thoughts about all of this, and I hope you come back next week for more on The Island Weekly.